You are now locked in to the Sitting Down with the Sisters podcast.
God, what a week. It's Monday.
Oh, Monday. How is it only Monday?
Do you know,
I'm sick to my stomach. We didn't go to work last Monday as well, so I think that maybe has tied in.
You're right.
How do you guys felt? You know how the time has changed? Have you felt it? Because I don't
seen
feel it.
It.
I never feel
I've
it.
I've felt it. I've seen it.
This year was the first year
felt I felt it.
It.
I never feel
maybe
it.
Maybe also because I was up. Me and my brother were watching a film.
Oh, you stayed up.
And that, when I saw that hour change, it literally went, when it hit 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I said, hey,
very violent, aggressive.
It is.
I tell my brother, sorry, I need to go to sleep, I have church in the morning.
It's so silent yet aggressive.
Silent but deadly.
No, but when I say I can see it, I can't feel it, like, just the fact that you're leaving work and it's still bright outside.
Oh, it does a lot.
Oh my God, it's really helping me mentally.
It really does.
I think in the winter, I just don't do as well. Mm. And I've noticed that over the years.
I know we're not there yet, but when that hour goes back...
Actually, we're not there yet. Can we do a full week?
Do you know? Give us chance.
Please, don't think that far yet. Why is your brain going on 100 miles per hour?
Because for it to be pitch black at 4, I can't.
We've
just started the new one.
It's not nice.
Oh.
Let it marinate. Let it settle.
Oh.
Yeah?
Well, guys, I actually have a question for you both.
Yeah.
What's your favourite thing to spend money on?
Food.
Facts.
I don't even need to think about that one.
Food. I love clothes.
Really?
I know you mean clothes. When I say love, by the way, guys, I don't mean that you're doing it and you're upset that you spent it. That you spent the money and you were happy.
Oh, then food and clothes.
Oh, okay, both.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think food, if I had to pick out one, it would be food. Like, I never regret spending money on food.
And it sounds crazy, even though I don't do it as often, but flying out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm. Holidays.
Oh, how can you regret that one? Let's be real.
It's my favorite.
You know what? In that moment when you're booking a flight, you could be thinking, "Oh, this is." Too, but by the time it's booked, I don't regret it.
You know, as soon as I press confirm,
if anything, I'm happier.
And the money has gone.
I'm happier.
My relationship with money. I don't want to like brag or anything, but I think I have a very healthy relationship with money. Once I've spent it, I don't even think about it again. Because to me, it's gone. Why am I thinking about the money that I've spent? And so, you know, with holidays, like, because they're usually a bigger purchase, once it's out of my account,
I'm even happier.
The excitement.
I'm rejoicing because I'm thinking of the memories that's about
you
to
know,
be made,
yeah,
right?
I'm thinking of her, like, planning my itinerary. I'm thinking there's a lot to look for. Like, the joy that booking a flight brings to you
I'm
so
sorry,
underrated.
How can I regret that? How can I regret choosing joy?
People say, though, that once you've clicked checkout and you've paid, but the feeling isn't great, then it might have been a bad decision.
Whoa.
No, they're saying if you're not happy about maybe you shouldn't have done it, because ideally you should be happy. Of course, we're not talking about bills and stuff, because no one wants to pay bills. But we're talking about things that you
I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I've had that with
miscellaneous
food. If there's actually food at home, and then I've ordered food in the moment, I'm like, was that really a wise decision? But then the food comes and I say, actually, it was a fantastic decision.
And the food is good on top of that.
It's not the food at home that does me. I don't care. The food can be there. For me, if the food doesn't slap, run me back my money. Because also, I'm the type that really spends time deciding where I'm going to order from.
Right,
because I check the hygiene, I check the reviews.
Yeah.
You must look at the fine details.
Yeah.
And if top of that, I've now decided to go ahead and then the food is not. What was I excited? Why did you get me
come
excited?
Come on.
No, but shout out to the food places though, because I haven't had a bad experience this year.
I have.
Really?
Let's also normalize.
Oh, no.
Let's normalize not paying for food that we don't like. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's another thing I'm doing.
I think that should be an option. Like, you know when you've missed cutlery, like, what was the issue? Missed cutlery, can I go back
to what I said and just add a bit, obviously with reason, there's certain people that you're just honestly ridiculously picky, like, you're picky, or you're just, if the food is in within moderation, like, like sort of good quantity you're getting what you're paying for, fine, but there's a lot of things that can go wrong with food.
100%.
If it doesn't look as...
If it's not hot.
If it doesn't look like the picture.
If it tastes like food that you cooked 3 days ago and you just reheated it.
If the quantity is tiny, I will be asking for a refund. And
run it back.
You will be giving it back to me.
Run it back. Yeah, because, I can't forgive bad food.
No, it's hurtful. It's really hurtful.
I can't. And on the topic of forgiveness,
I was going to say that. You know,
that
I was
is like, a perfect segue. Wow,
I knew you did that. I saw what
that
you did
is
there.
Wonderful.
I saw what you did there.
Hey,
sprinkle, 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 sprinkle.
I was waiting for Ashley to finish, so I can be like, so
yeah.
You mentioned forgiveness. What did you mean by that?
Do you know what it is? I said I can't forgive bad food, but as a Christian, I must forgive.
Yeah.
I must. Yeah. It's a command, mm-hmm. actually. But actually, I would love to know what you guys, when you think of the word forgiveness, yeah, what do you think? Like, because I feel like I've heard people, when they hear the word forgiveness, it's a rolling of the eyes. It's a, oh. But when you guys think of forgiveness, what are your thoughts?
I think forgiveness is never, well, it could be, sometimes it could be easy. Sometimes it could be very hard. I'm going to focus on the hard parts because once it's easy, you just do it, right? But sometimes it can be very, very, very hard to forgive certain behaviors and actions because we're flesh.
Yeah, we are. You know? We are indeed.
But yeah, it can be hard.
Forgiveness is
forgiveness.
Sorry, I don't know why I say it like that. Forgiveness. No,
well,
honestly,
she loves the word, doesn't it?
Funny enough, this is actually the biggest lesson I've learned this past year is forgiveness is obedience to God.
And I oop.
Forgiveness is obedience to God.
Yeah.
And for me, why I believe that and why I label forgiveness that way is because, just to piggyback off of what you said, Temi, forgiveness is, there's never going to be a right time to forgive someone. It's never going to feel like a good time. It's never going to feel easy.
Mm.
But again, I'm speaking to my believers.
The ones that are inside the building.
Inside the club.
Because I know you're there.
Not the ones outside of the building.
Tell me, she can feel your presence.
I'm just saying.
I can feel you watching and listening.
Hallelujah.
We're called to forgive.
It's a command.
We have to.
It's not
and
a choice.
One of the biggest things I learned as well, and this is in, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 5. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, where it says, where Jesus is speaking, he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he says to the crowd, you know, you're taught to love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but I'm telling you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be called, so that you may be children of God.
That's right.
When I hear scripture,
do you know, that really convicted me because sometimes we can pick and choose, like, oh, you know, this person hurt me, this person said that, this person made me feel this way. And that's not to say God turns a blind eye to your hurt and to your pain, but there's a reason why God asks us and instructs us to forgive.
Yeah.
Because me choosing not to forgive someone, that's essentially me rejecting my identity in Christ. Because it says, if you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Yep. So to do the opposite of that and to not forgive someone, that's you essentially saying that, okay, I'm not a child of God then.
And to piggyback off of you, to say you love people that love you doesn't actually take a lot, the Bible says.
Right.
Yeah.
But to love someone that has offended you, to love your quote-unquote enemies, actually takes the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you can actually see your Christianity in action. Mm-hmm. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Sorry. Love how?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a very good question.
I want to know what you mean by love.
Because
them.
You know what? It is?
I'm not going to lie. We're talking about forgiveness.
And love is forgiveness requires love.
Yes.
But it might not be love in the conventional way that we experience it or know it to be. Because for me, I feel like there are some people that have a gift of forgiveness, or like they have a ease of forgiveness, like they find it easy to forgive people, and that might be maybe because of the way they view Christ and stuff, while some other people, it's not that they don't have a good relationship with God or they're not a good quote-unquote Christian, but their relationship with forgiveness is a bit harder. And I just think that can also be a personality difference. That can also be like a mental block forgiveness means. But like for me, I'm someone that by God's grace, I don't struggle to forgive. I don't really hold a grudge. I think it becomes from the place of knowing that it actually requires a lot of energy to do so, to hold on to stuff, it might sound selfish, I don't mean in a way that it's so that I can be at peace, but it's more like so that I can actually move on and like grow past this point. Because I think when you live in unforgiveness, you will realize a stagnancy in your life, and so the love is not only for that person, the love is for God, and it's also for yourself.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
And you know, sorry,
Ash, go.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
you know, to choose not to forgive someone as well, what that does to your heart and how it hardens your heart. Mm. And what people don't realize is, okay, well, I'm going to choose not to forgive that person, but I'm still going to try and get close to God. And I'm not saying that you should stop, but there's a hardness that you establish between you and God. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's an area that God can't reach within your heart, and that's holding you hostage. It's like that famous quote that says, not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah.
It's like you hold yourself, you imprison yourself, essentially. Mm-hmm. Because it takes, as I said, it takes a lot to not forgive someone. Mm. And just to piggyback off what you said as well on you choosing, forgiving someone is also choosing to love them as well. It's like you say, it's not going to look like the conventional way that we think. It's not, oh, that means you now keep in contact, because I think that's where people lose it. It's, yeah. It doesn't now mean that you choosing to forgive someone and loving them is not exactly now having how. Reckless boundaries. Mm. No, if anything, it teaches you and it should show you to further enforce your boundaries. Yep. It's not that, oh, I've forgiven them, so that means I can meet up with them, I can reestablish communication, I can do X, Y, Z. No, I'm choosing to forgive you, mm-hmm. but I also know that there needs to be a distance.
Yeah.
There needs to be boundaries. We can't be in contact the way we used to be. We can't be meeting up. We can't be doing X, Y, and Z. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, even though I've chosen to forgive you, I still need to protect my mental state.
Yep. You said it, girl.
Point blank. You literally took the words right out of my mouth. There were two things I wanted to say. Forgiveness mm-hmm. looks differently, like yeah. all the time. It doesn't have like a one way look. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. sometimes people get it mixed up and think because you've forgiven, you have to go back to your default relationship that you had with them.
Absolutely
it doesn't have to look. Sometimes it can look mm-hmm. that way, yeah. depending on the situation. People, yeah. But a lot of the time, equally as well, it doesn't look that way, and right. that's also fine. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I wanted to say was, one of the biggest things I actually learned last year, which was a hard pill to swallow, about forgiveness, is Christ also requires you to forgive even when someone hasn't asked for forgiveness. Yeah.
When they're unapologetic.
And that was a hard pill for me to swallow, because you, like, the way I've always seen forgiveness growing up, someone comes to you, you've asked me to forgive you, mm-hmm. and there's something I'll go away, I'll ponder and I'll think about, and then it's always looked that way for me. Mm. But it was just like, sometimes you have to even forgive someone without, one, having a conversation with them yep. about it. Mm-hmm. Two, without getting the clarity that you need from them.
No closure,
nothing from them. Mm-hmm. You genuinely, for your peace of mind, as you were saying, just so you can move on with your life, whether you're in constant communication or you have a relationship with that person or not, for your own mental health and just for your own growth with God, you genuinely have to forgive that person, yeah. whether they're asking for your forgiveness or not. And that's a different level of difficulty, because you're not even asking me.
Yeah. And you know what, Tem, your point is so powerful, because it actually speaks to how forgiveness is one way you can really look like God, because it's selfless. Yeah. It's completely selfless. It's to say that, you know what, I didn't get an apology, I'm gonna put my pride aside, I'm gonna choose to let something go. Because I think sometimes we look at forgiveness and think it's always like the big things, like, oh, someone really does something mad to you and then you have to forgive it. But forgiveness exists in everyday life. Like, mm-hmm. say for instance, something was said to you very off the cuff, like, and you might have the predisposition to be a sensitive person. You choose to forgive in that moment by not just holding on to that phrase. You choose. Mm-hmm. That's like a very minute way of, like, or if, say, for instance, your parent just said something a bit harshly and you, whatever, at home, and then whatever, and you're just like, you know what, you choose not to hold that against them. Mm-hmm. That is like mini forgiveness. And I think sometimes we always see forgiveness at like this big, big scale, but forgiveness, it starts, having a forgiving spirit starts in the smallest of things. It's choosing to live from a place of not being offended, because mm-hmm. I think the reason why a lot of people struggle with forgiveness is because a lot of people live at a place of offense. Mm-hmm. They're always looking for a reason to be offended. Yeah. And you might not think that you are, like, I think people don't realize that they're doing it mm-hmm. when they live in this place. But if you're someone that's very touchy, like, when people are around you, they tend to walk on eggshells, you're probably someone that lives at a place of offense, because you're constantly finding a reason. And this is not to invalidate things that have happened to you as a person, but if you're somebody that constantly tends to have an issue with people, you're probably
or
living
things that people might
that people do. Yeah. You're probably living in a place of offense where when you hear things, your automatic reaction is not to give the grace or the benefit of the doubt, or to assume they could be saying something positive,
right? Or think of it in a different capacity than what you
automatically received.
Your automatic thing is to be like, what's the catch? What's the undertone here? Why are you saying it like this? Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's why a lot of people struggle with forgiveness, honestly.
I love what you said about the small things. That's really because interesting. It's like what people say, your first ministry is at home. So if you're unable to, not necessarily overlook, but like you said, forgive the small things. Forgive the way maybe your parents have spoken to you, or your siblings had a bad day and they've, unfortunately, you've been on the receiving end of that, or just the very small things, then of course it's not going to be as
easy,
quote unquote, to forgive someone when something like traumatic happens, because you didn't really, forgiveness is something that you put into practice. It's not something, it's not a feeling, it's not something that, like going back to the original point, I feel ready to forgive that person, I'm going to forgive, I feel in my heart. No, it's something that you just choose to do. And it's something that, honestly, you'll probably have to choose to do every single day.
Right.
Because one thing it's not forgive and forget, it's choose to forgive and remember with forgiveness. Choose to forgive and remember with forgiveness. Not forgive and forget, it's forgive and remember with forgiveness. Because honestly, this past year, like you guys know, like sometimes like you can find yourself getting riled up about things that maybe happened last year or the year before that, or something that someone said. Everyone has something to be offended about if we're being like
absolutely
truthful. Yeah, everyone.
Reals.
But the one thing I honestly sometimes like randomly I'll just say out loud, Lord, I chose to forgive that person, so I'm gonna remember with forgiveness.
Yeah,
I can't exude energy getting angry about something. Oh, I should have said this, I should have said that, oh, I should have done this. Because at the end of the day, the situation has passed and I've chosen to forgive.
Because
I can't now revisit and take a scab off a healed wound and now take 10 steps back.
I've literally, honestly,
and that's one thing. If you're someone that struggles, or if like you're finding it hard to, you know, hold people in a good light, someone that's offended you, that's one thing that I will honestly advise, is just remembering with forgiveness. Lord, I've chosen to forgive this person. You can see how it's hard. You see how they're trying me. You see how they're pushing me. They push.
This is what
push,
I'm still
they
choosing.
Push, they're pushing me.
Push.
But Lord, I'm choosing.
I still
obedience
stand on
because that's what forgiveness is. I'm choosing obedience, that's and Lord, I know you're gonna honor this obedience, so please
I'm begging,
hear my cry.
No, what you're saying,
I'm begging you.
The reason, no, because Ash, I don't think you understand how much you just preach a sermon. Reals. Like forgiveness,
that was
my
lesson this past year.
Forgiveness is such an active thing. You can't be a silent participator in forgiveness. You must be. It's an active act.
Silent participant.
It's a choice. Every day it's a choice. Especially if it's something that's really done you, like scattered you.
They've taken you by your singlet.
You get dragged you through the street. Forgiveness is so active. It's constantly bringing it to the throne and saying, Lord, you saw how they embarrassed me. You saw how they flogged me. Hello?
Hi.
Wait. So you're telling me you've been watching this entire time and you haven't subscribed? You got 5 seconds. Okay.
And that's why I love what Temi said, yeah, that the journey of forgiveness will look different for everyone.
Yes.
Because it's so weird, yeah. You can choose to forgive someone and then maybe like a month later, 2 months later, you'll start to feel all the emotions
triggered
that you felt, that maybe you felt on that day when you found out what happened, or the day after, or the day of the offense, whenever.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a reminder that I need God every single day.
Oh. Right.
I am in need of him. I'm in need of his grace, his mercies every single day. Because the moment I take my eyes off of him, you're going to find me in a prison cell. You're going to see me on the news like this. My hands cuffed.
Yep.
I need it. Tell me, I need it every day.
Because people going to try you every day.
Every day.
People,
you might see
try
something, you're triggered.
And it reminds
you. Hear something,
you.
Like, you're going to see stuff that, like you said, little things that remind you
triggering
of it. And it's just like, Lord.
Yeah, help me.
Please.
As I've made this choice to honor you with my forgiveness, please.
Give me the strength to
hold
keep
my hand.
Yeah, and another thing I was going to say with forgiveness as well, a lot of people.
My hand.
Baby, I promise that I'll do all I
I can. Those who know, that song is a gospel song.
They don't know.
If you didn't know. No problem. Anyways.
Shout out to MJ.
Go on. Sorry. I'm sorry.
He died for the cause.
He died on the cross, man. He resurrected.
Jesus did, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say.
Sorry. What a song. I'm so sorry.
Man, I knew she wasn't done. I knew so she wasn't. Let out.
Baby, I promise that I do all I can. Things will get better if you just hold my hand.
No, bye.
Hold my hand.
You might as well carry on because it's left my head now. Oh, I'm joking. Sorry.
Go, Timmy, don't forget.
Timmy, come on, Timmy.
Sorry, what I was going to say was, it's come back. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. What I was going to say was, sometimes, do you guys ever get in that journey of forgiveness where you've realized that you thought you'd forgiven, but you actually haven't?
Yes. Like, no.
You're on the journey of forgiveness because forgiveness does not look one way.
Right.
And we sometimes have this perceived perception of what forgiveness looks like.
Mm.
So in your mind, in a certain moment in time, maybe it could be very early in the situation that might have occurred, you're like, you know what? Because it's so easy to open your mouth and say, I've forgiven him.
Yeah, this
is like, you'll go about your day. 2 months later, you realize you're still having some negative thoughts about this person. Then you look back and think, maybe I haven't forgiven.
Do you know what's
maybe
key?
There's still work that needs to be done.
Do you know what's key to discuss off your point? What are signs that you haven't forgiven someone?
Right. Mm. This is basically what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever, maybe not us personally, but it's a thing. Genuinely feel like you might have forgiven someone, but really and truly you've not, especially when you're in tune with the spirit and it's God is trying to tell you, you ain't done the work.
There's been areas.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I realize that I haven't forgiven, but I haven't released it.
Right.
Or
you're not an active participant.
There's still resentment or bitterness.
Right.
Because I remember reading this book and it says the 5 stages of forgiveness, right? I'm not going to name them all. I really implore everyone to research that because it's actually so powerful. But one of the last stages is releasing it.
Mm.
And I think what a lot of people don't realize is they confuse what you said, thinking they haven't forgiven someone with actually releasing it.
Right.
And as believers, that looks like releasing it to God. Okay, God, I've chosen to forgive. Now I'm going to release. I'm going to release all the negative emotions.
Yeah, and
that doesn't now mean that in that one instant,
everything
you're
will
no
come out.
Longer going to feel a type of way when you think about it. Because again, there's healing that now has to take place with that forgiveness. But it's the releasing step that I think a lot of people skip. They say, oh, I've forgiven, but it's the forgiving, but I'm not forgetting.
And
I'm
going to
remember that, you did me wrong.
And
I'm going to remember that you said this and I'm holding it against you.
It's the staying in a place of offense.
That.
So yes, you've forgiven. Like you've made maybe you've said it with your mouth, I forgive. Or you've said it in your heart, I forgive. Or in a place of prayer, you've said, I forgive. But you're holding on to the offense. Mm-hmm. You have to let it go.
Yeah.
That's a key element of forgiveness. I think you'll know you haven't let it go or you're struggling with forgiveness if when you see that person, whether in your physical front or online, you think bad thoughts about them, or you have malicious sounds very drastic, but for some people,
but it's malicious.
You think bad of that person. I genuinely think if you still think bad of a person, you haven't let it go.
Mm.
And not to say that we're all cool, we're all going to be perfect at it, but I genuinely think there's a calling and I genuinely think there's a grace that comes from God to genuinely not hold.
Yeah. And sometimes it starts from being aware.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a lot of the time you might not be aware of what you're feeling and you might just even try to even go as far as label yourself a bad person.
Right.
But once you become aware of just the state that you're in, you're able to accept it more and then know the work and the next steps to take in that journey of forgiveness.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I also think just to really drive it home how important forgiveness is. The Bible does say that when you don't forgive, you also forfeit the forgiveness that God gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And so in refusing to forgive people, you refuse God's forgiveness. And the reason why that is because when Jesus died on the cross for you, he didn't wait for you to say sorry.
Mm.
He didn't wait for you to be repentful. Like he'd even wait for you to be remorseful or sorrowful for your sin. He didn't wait for you to even grieve your sin.
Right.
He died for all the sins that would still take place. And he died 2000 2000 odd years ago. Mm-hmm. And he died for every single sin that would ever be committed. And that's the kind of heart that he's trying to generate and, you know, create in us. That's
what being Christ-like that's what comes
to,
from.
Do you know what I mean? And so that's why forgiveness is deeper than you forgiving a person. It speaks to the transformative work that God has done in your personal life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, if you're struggling with forgiveness sometimes as well, it means you're struggling to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it means you're struggling to also accept the forgiveness that God has given you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you can't necessarily beat yourself up. Like that's what Tem said, like for a lot of people, they don't realize that that's why they're struggling with forgiveness, is that you don't genuinely believe God has forgiven you for a lot of the things that you've done. You have not come to the place where you're like, wow, God actually loves me. God God is so gracious, like,
unconditionally,
so
unconditionally as well.
He's not holding my things against me, because that's what unforgiveness is holding your wrongs against holding a person's wrongs against them. But the Lord has said in his word that when he forgives us, he sends our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He forgets our sin as far as the east is from the west, which means he literally forgets everything you've ever done.
And he holds no record of any wrongdoing.
It's a choice for him to forgive, because obviously he's all knowing, so he knows, and there will be the day of judgment, all of that stuff. So it's an intentional choice of him to look at Jesus when our sin comes up. He looks at Jesus. That's what that is. And in the same way, when we forgive people, that's what we can choose to do. We look at Jesus, we look at the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and that is what then will enable us to forgive other people
and to extend grace to other people.
Another sermon in one.
No, for real. That's essentially what it comes down to. That's the only reason why. That's the gospel.
Yeah, it's the gospel, man.
Simple as that.
But on the top, actually, forgive and forget. So I think people always portray forgive and forget as though that is written in the Bible, and the Bible doesn't say forgive and forget, it just says forgive. Now the reason why I think we need to say that is because the Bible is not telling you to be unwise in your forgiveness, because the Bible also calls you to be wise as serpents, which is to mean that if someone has done something to you 500 times, the Bible is not saying that you should now go back there and let them do it to you 501 times. Do you know what I mean? Wisdom is to say, you know what, I've forgiven you, but I'm also going to do what is going to better my life going
making
forward.
The right decision.
Not just for myself, but also for the other person involved.
It's almost like faith with no works. Like, as much as the Bible is telling you to do something which you should listen to, you too need to apply certain things in your life and accustom it to your lifestyle.
Correct.
That's it, babe.
Because
I do think there's an element of forgetfulness you need to have, which is maybe the offense part. Like, you have to choose to, and I don't know if that's forgetfulness. I think that's more release. Like you said,
it's moving
forward.
That's what I was
going to say. Like, you remember the act and say, I'm not going to let this have a hold.
Again, I don't know why the word intentionality keeps coming in, but when it comes to forgetfulness, it's about your intention as to why you're holding on to certain things. If you're not forgetting a situation just so you can make better decisions, so you can remember maybe where you were in a certain environment that had caused a certain situation to happen, and it will help you choose better next time, then that's in my opinion, a good reason to not forget. That's wisdom. But if you're holding on to something, you're not forgetting purposely, simply because you want to, I don't know, you just want to, I don't know, be aggressive, you want to have a hold over them, or in every and in every minor situation you bring it up, and it's just, you know, you're using it against them in every chance that you get. Again, your intention is not pure in that sense, and that's a the downfall of holding on to it.
Because I think that But I think that's such a good point, Tim, because I think that's another sign that you haven't forgiven. If in every argument you bring something up,
this is why
I always emphasize that in terms of making certain life choices and decisions, no one said these things will be easy. A big part of forgiving is having the maturity and just the growth and just being able to hold yourself in situations where you feel like you're going to bring something. Personally, I don't even think you should have to hold yourself from not bringing something up, because naturally you shouldn't even have to want to bring it up if you've forgiven. That's why I respect people that they feel like if a relationship, let's say for example, is not serving them any longer, and they have the knowledge and wisdom to walk away, because they know that if they are in that situation, it's something they can potentially bring up again and again. That's why I don't blame women, for example, that just people in general, that can't go back to cheating partners, because they themselves know. Yeah, and it's not as if it's an easy decision for them to make. They might want to stay, but genuinely, because I feel like I can't, like, I can forgive you, but in terms of moving past that situation, I can't trust you. I don't want to every argument we have to bring that up, and I know I can't trust myself to not do that. So for that for that reason, I will walk away. That's a certain level of growth and responsibility a lot of people don't have.
Well,
do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, because there's no point for staying with a person that you every blazed argument.
Yeah, all you're gonna bring it up
and bat them over the head with it, because
that there's actually no point. Don't worry about
every
it.
Time.
No don't growth. Worry. There's no need.
You don't want to be there.
But do you, can I be? Like, I don't even think you don't want to be there, because you do want to be there, but. You're unable to move forward.
Do you know, I don't think you want to be there.
No, do you know why? Do you know why?
If you want to love, if you genuinely want to love, mm-hmm. especially love away, like for instance, if you love someone the way you would want to be loved, for instance, you would not want someone to do that to you. So for me, like, so it's not that, I don't think it's an overt knowing that you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
But I personally think if you're in a relationship where you're constantly bringing up every bad thing they've ever done to you, you do not actually see the worthiness of staying there. Mm. You actually think it's detrimental to your life. And you think this person is not redeemable.
Yeah. Because it's just not a healthy environment.
That's the lens you look at them in.
Yeah.
If you bring something up about someone all the time, that's the lens you look at them through. Yeah. Because in a healthy relationship, you probably like are always bringing up the things you love about them. You're like, oh, you're so sweet. Yeah. You're so kind. You're so this. I remember when you did this for me. I remember you're always like pointing out the positive, nice things. But if you're constantly pointing out negative, that's the lens you look at them in.
Yeah, that's the lens you look at them in. But I think a better way for me to process it rather than you not wanting to be there is you shouldn't even be there.
Right.
Mm. You shouldn't be in that environment because if the first few thoughts that come to your head about that environment or the negative things that has happened, you shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. It's not healthy for you, because
I hear it.
Do you know what I mean? It's just the negative side that it's bringing out of you, and you don't need to be in an environment where that's constantly what brings out of you.
Yeah,
I agree. So,
and really and truly, they both work in hand in hand, because that's the surface level, and then that's the deep. That's the one that's actually under
the deep rooted. Yeah,
that people are not actually honest about,
and that's it. But to wrap up, what are some signs that you have forgiven someone?
Oh,
because I think people need like those things to take away, like an application.
I would say one is, you're not so quick to insult them
You speak on it, my love.
At all.
Yeah.
I think it can be very easy, especially when someone's hurt you to your core, and you have people around you like, yeah, that person is this, da 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 da, and you're not so quick to jump in that and be like, yeah, they're actually this.
Right.
And instead you're just like, oh guys, like it's whatever. Mm-hmm. You know?
A sign for me is just sometimes you can physically feel weight being lifted off your shoulders.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? You can feel the relief. Mm. You can feel that you're not holding on to certain grudges anymore. You can feel like you're just letting go and letting God. That feeling is unmatched, because you can breathe. You can allow other positive thoughts to fill your mind rather than, do you know what I mean? Like, you can get on with life as normal. Yeah. You can do the things that when you think about
get on
them,
with life as normal is so
you can get on with life. Like, you can literally get up and do the
you
things
can you live your life.
Like, you don't feel you're angry. Happy. You don't feel stagnant. You're not bitter. You don't feel bitter.
You're not resentful.
Like, even if the person's name might come up, you don't even have to, the fact that you don't pay attention to it, you can just do what you need to do rather than feeling that for me is forgiveness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's spiritual, it's deeper, because there's no human work that can do that. The only Holy Spirit can do that,
for real.
I think even tapping onto yours, Tem, you can actually pray for them, because it takes real forgiveness to be able to pray for somebody that has hurt you, to wish them well. Do you know what I mean? Not just to be absent-minded when it comes to them, but actually to wish them well in their life, for going their forward, to want good things for them. Mm-hmm. I think that's a sign of like a deep, genuine like regeneration of your heart, of a forgiveness towards somebody, because it's like you now see them the way God sees them. You see them as someone that was a flawed human being that made horrible decisions that hurt you, but in the same way you could have done that to somebody else. You're able, not maybe not the same thing. Let's be, but I feel like
the same way we're also flawed.
And in you being flawed, you've probably hurt people.
Because I think extend grace.
That's what Christianity is constantly reminding us, that our standard, like, is Christ. So yes, we can paint people with a brush and say, "How can you do that to me?" But you've probably done something to somebody else,
and we've done it to God.
Even if you can't, you know, you can't think of a time you've done someone else, but I promise you've done it to God.
You've turned your back on God,
right?
And you've offended, like, and not in an emotionally manipulative way, because God is not looking at you like that. Like, He's not holding you like this by your neck.
Yeah, but just as the act
to know that you've actually hurt somebody's feelings before, you've definitely done that.
We've all done that.
And I think forgiveness is sitting in a place of humility and remembering that, you know what, without God, I am who I'm, I can be a raging lunatic. I'm a raging lunatic.
Raging lunatic. Wow.
Without the raging Lord.
Lunatic. Heavy on that one. Yeah.
Without the Lord.
Absolutely.
But God.
Without the Lord.
Christ alone.
The Lord, Christ alone.
Christ alone. Stone.
Without the Lord. But God.
They're right.
Another right. one is a sign that you've forgiven and you've released
yeah.
is you no longer dwell on what you've lost, but you're what looking you, forward to
future, what's to come.
And what you've gained. And what's to get. Yeah.
You open doors for receiving.
Yeah. You've made room for new.
Do you know when they say refreshing? Mm. That's the definition of refreshing.
That's what it is.
Like, you know when you walk out of a room that's maybe so like smelly or yep. just, and you walk into another room that's got like you're ventilation. Okay. And
yeah.
The
AC
you
know, is
you see the difference. It's, you're letting room for new growth.
You know, a very wow. wise woman, she's actually in this room. She told me,
oh my day.
You can mourn, but after a certain point, think of what you're mourning about.
Wow.
And you know that has stuck with me.
No, because wow. you can.
That has actually stuck with me. Because wow. we're not saying don't mourn. We're not saying don't feel all the negative emotions. We're not saying don't cheat yourself out of feeling all the emotions that you're going to feel from start to finish.
Mm.
But also allow yourself to mourn. Mm. But remember, okay, how long am I going to mourn for?
How long am I going to sit
Ecclesiastics in? 3 talks about seasons.
There's a time for everything.
There's a time for everything.
Remember,
that's
joy,
one of my
favorite. Actually, supposed to come in the morning.
Mm.
Oh,
so you still mourning?
You're
denying yourself from experiencing that joy in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So how long Hallelujah. Will you put off feeling that joy?
The delay. A lot of the time, let's be honest, we're a product of our own downfall.
Yeah.
We are a product of our own downfall.
Yeah. Yeah, we're the initiators of our own downfall.
Not a product.
The thing about that mourning thing is, think about what you're mourning. And the reason why you need to think about what you're mourning, sadness, like you're mourning deprivation, you're mourning things that are, it's like you're reminiscing hurt. Why would you do that to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Constantly reminding yourself of where somebody stabbed you. To do that is to be stabbed and then going back to where you were stabbed and to stab yourself again.
Mm-hmm.
By or yourself.
You're even twisting the knife as it's in there, instead of taking that knife out and letting the wound heal.
And that's what unforgiveness looks like.
And just to final point, just to reiterate what I was saying, like, forgiving is not a sign of weakness in any way. Yeah. If anything, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of moving on. It's courage. A sign of courage, discipline as well. Knowing that this needs to go and you doing something about it. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's the complete opposite. That will go over a lot of people's head. But remember, we're talking about believers.
That's it. It's obedience at the end of the day. Obedience.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for watching.
Yeah, you said it. That was beautiful, Tem.
That was.
Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.